I've been so encouraged as we've learned more about God, the Master Gardener, and His ultimate goal is to produce a great harvest in and through each and every person. You see, there's a harvest of spiritual fruit that can be developed in the life of a believer. There's also the harvest of souls that will be a result of God's work in the individual. As we think about such things, we encourage you to allow God to work in your life. You can be a part of a spiritual harvest in the world that will have an eternal impact. God wants you and I to develop spiritual gifts inside of us that will cause us to look more and more like Jesus Christ. And it is those very developments that give us a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. We can partner with God in redeeming the world. God is calling all of us to a deeper mission. Exercise and develop the spiritual gifts that we find within our lives. And then these gifts can make a positive impact so that we can get involved in ministering to the world around us. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get plugged in to the work of God. And so as we gather with our devices curled up on our comfy couch or sitting on our deck, wherever it is that you find yourself in this very moment, Ken and I want to pray this prayer with you. Pray this prayer for your own heart and life today. God, please work in and through me to make a difference in the world. I believe you have placed seeds inside me to grow into a beautiful harvest in my life. Enable me to submit to your work in my life. May you use me to further your kingdom on earth. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the Master Gardener, and all God's people proclaimed. Amen.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers.
Matthew chapter 9, 36 to 38. What do we see when we look at the crowds? Our countless neighbors who do not yet believe, but long to be rescued. What do we feel when we look in the faces of the harassed and the helpless? Jesus noticed them all. He was filled with compassion. He saw a harvest of souls hanging heavy on the vines. He saw the lost ones, ready to follow a shepherd if they only knew him. He turned to his disciples. "Ask the Lord," he said, "to send out workers to gather them in." And then he sent them out.
Well, good morning, my friends. So wonderful to have you with us here with Whitby Online. And this is our fourth sermon in the sermon series, Rooted. We've talked about being planted in good soil. We took some Swiss chard seed, we planted it in good soil. We saw the growth there happening, and that was the second part, growing. We saw the agents of growth, the beautiful sunlight, the proper soil, the moisture with the nutrients. That was in week two. In week three, we talked about pruning, a little bit of a painful process, pruning away areas in our life that wasn't conducive to healthy growth. This week, we're talking about reaping the bountiful harvest. You see, everybody wants the delicious fruit at the time of harvest, but few people are willing to do what's necessary along the way to make it happen. Let's take a look at the reality of the harvest fruit. Well, firstly, it's right inside you. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there's no law." A follower of Jesus is given the Spirit of God to dwell inside of them. And the Spirit of God has many different jobs, but one is to produce a harvest of fruit of the Spirit. And these fruits are present in the life of every believer, but they must be exercised and honed to become our new nature. When we walk in the power of God's Spirit, our lives produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These qualities are evident to those around us and may even move someone to ask, "Well, what's different about you?" I've seen that time and time again about believers. There's something different about that person. What makes that person different? Well, the key here is to be walking with and in the Spirit. The broader Galatians chapter mentioned before states that human nature and spiritual nature are always in conflict with each other. The fruit of the human nature are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions. Oh, we've seen this time and time again, haven't we, over these last number of years of COVID-19. Just recently, fits of road rage. Really not fruits of the Spirit, are they? However, the flip side of that are the fruits of a life that's in the Spirit, and they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And to live in the Spirit takes courage, wisdom, discernment, and intentionality. It takes energy and pruning to ensure that healthy growth happens in the Spirit. Now, as I share about the fruits of the human nature and the fruits of the Spirit, I imagine several different characteristics stuck out in your minds to each and every one of you, either positive or negative. And I encourage you to make a note of those that caught your attention and ask God to either prune or grow those fruit that He wants in your life. It's true, we reap what we sow. Now, further on in Galatians, we hit another key passage pertaining to the harvest. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 to 10 says this: "Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." To say it very plainly, if a farmer or a gardener plants an apple tree, they're going to get apples. If they plant a strawberry plant, they're going to get strawberries. If we sow evil and sin into our lives and the lives of others around us, we will reap in return the same thing. If we want to receive the things of God within our hearts and our lives, then we must sow to please the Spirit. We should willingly and readily sow love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control into all aspects of our lives. It's not easy, but we cannot get tired and weary of doing good because it has an impact on the world around us. Weariness sets in when we try to do things in our own strength and our own power. Remember what we said, God does the growing. God does the growing. Think back for a moment to our last couple of teachings, especially when we talked about remaining attached to the vine. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you want to reap healthy fruit, you need to sow healthy fruit. And the best way to do that is to stay connected to Jesus Christ and to walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Then you will bear healthy, fresh fruit. Now, it's not hard to distinguish between fresh fruit and rotten fruit. In Matthew 16 to 18, Jesus says these words, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." You see, the point here being that people around you will recognize and respond to the fruit of your own life. Fresh fruit is always delicious and inviting, while rotten fruit stinks. And no one wants to have it around. No one wants it at all. Rotten fruit isn't hard to recognize. But the same is true about the fruit of the life of a believer, the spiritual fruit. This point only emphasizes the last in that it's important that we have that a believer remain connected to the vine and exerts the necessary effort to remain healthy. And in doing that, we work in His power. You see, salvation is a process, my friends, that begins with a profession of faith, but doesn't end until we expire, or in the army we say we're promoted to glory. The good news is the work that is to be done in us is not accomplished in our own power. The power that we are given by God is the fuel we need to act and live out in the good purposes of God. God plants the seed by His power and our acceptance. He grows it by His power and our cooperation. And in time, He harvests by His power and our partnership. Scripture says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." You see, the opportunities for good and also for evil are all around us. The Gospel of Matthew describes the dilemma this way. Jesus went through all of the towns and villages, teaching first in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, I'm going to say it again. Everyone wants the delicious fruit at the end of the harvest and the time of harvest, but few are willing to do all that's necessary along the way to reap that harvest. We do our part and God will do his. We have a role to play in all this. And along the way, we have an unwavering trust that it's all possible and powerful through Christ and the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. Now, through this series, we've talked about some of the weighty issues of following Christ. Where have you seen yourself described? Have you just recently been planted? Are you currently in a season of growth and health? Are you currently in a season of pruning? Are you experiencing now the richness of a bountiful harvest? All of these seasons have their place in the life of a believer. This is a process with a very real and eternal destination. And the destination, my friends, well, it's out of this world. As we wrap up our time here, I want to invite you into a time of response and reflection. Are there areas of life that you need to seek forgiveness for and maybe get help over? Are you ready to profess your faith and make a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ? Are you ready to step into the field of harvest and commit to a deeper level of training and discipleship? Wherever you find yourself today, please know that God sees you. He knows the journey that you've taken and the trials that you've had along the way. By his grace and empowerment, you can have a life of abundant fruit that you can see a 10, 20, maybe even a 100-fold return on. Maybe you are in need of that seed of forgiveness today. You need it planted in your own heart. If so, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray together. God, I need you now. I need you to plant that seed of life within my heart and my life. I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I ask you to forgive my sin and come into my life as my personal Savior. I acknowledge you as my Savior and Lord right now, and I accept your gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Lord Jesus, grow me now into the child of God that you want me to be, bearing a bountiful harvest of spiritual fruit in my life. And Lord, may others be blessed because of your work in and through my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. My friends, if you're interested in what you've heard today of reaping a bountiful harvest in your own heart and life, I invite you to connect with us. Go to our website, sawhitby.ca, and connect with us. There you can leave a confidential email. You can give us a phone call. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. My friends, may God richly bless you today.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm in the fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. On for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.